1 week from tonight, I'm hoping that those of us here who are in Eau Claire and are gathered for the Thanksgiving service at Messiah will be given the opportunity to sing, "We Praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator." Tradition being what it is, that just happens to be one of the hymns that I really like to sing this time of year. As the opening line reveals, one of the points made by that hymn is the fact that God is our Creator, a point which we heard last Friday during the Lyceum, which is currently very much under assault. But the scriptures are very clear about that, that God has created us. And those scriptures reveal that He did not just create us as part of a whim. God did not create us simply as part of some exercise in divine power. Rather, that He created us with some very specific purposes and activities in mind. What's more, He didn't just create us once. In a sense, He created us twice. He, of course, made us to be parts of the human race. But then, since the fall, all of us were born in our sins and trespasses, spiritually dead. He created in us a new man. He caused us to be born again through the gospel, and thereby made us His children, part of the Holy Christian Church. And it is in connection with His children, His church, that we are shown that there are some very specific purposes for our existence. Several of these purposes and activities for which God has created us are found in that remarkably concise and compact letter of 1 Peter. It is there, for example, that we read how God intends for His people to live lives very different from the lives lived by the rest of the world. "As obedient children, do not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so you be holy in all your conduct." Peter also speaks of God's purpose for us that we as Christians live lives of love toward one another. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit for genuine love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And it is in this letter of Peter that we are informed of the Lord's desire and intention that we Christians remain continually thirsty for the truth. "As newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." But it is right up there with these overarching purposes and goals and intentions for the lives of God's people that the Lord includes yet another purpose for us, namely that of worshiping, the act of praising. One more message in this brief series of T-shirt testimonials presents to us the words this morning, "Created to worship." And right above the large letters are smaller letters which reveal to the onlooker that the Christian who wears this shirt is called to be called to praise. Words which echo some words found elsewhere in Peter's epistle, specifically the 5th and 9th verses of chapter 2. "You also, as living stones, are built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Peter packs a powerful set of terms and expressions into these two verses, far too many for us to consider adequately in one chapel address. But consider just that word that's used in both verses 5 and 9, priesthood. Peter declares that every single one of us in Christ is part of a priesthood. We are all priests. In other words, every one of us possesses the same privileges and has the same access as did the priests of the Old Testament times. Since Jesus has now cleared away all sin and guilt, we can now come directly into God's presence without any additional mediator. We have direct access to the throne of God. Nothing can block our way to the Father. The veil of the temple has been torn open in two pieces. We are priests, and priests are expected to function. But what do priests do? Well, priests offer up sacrifices. So what does that mean for us today? Grab the butcher knife, stock up on incense? No, Jesus has done away with all need to carry out sacrifices of flame and blood. Peter says that we have been made a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The Lord now looks for non-physical, non-tangible offerings, sacrifices to be made in our lives, specifically the offerings of praise and thanks. You are a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. One of the purposes for which we've been made the people of God is for the purpose of praising Him, worshiping Him, thanking Him. Fine. But aren't those all Sunday verbs? Aren't those the kind of things we do when we congregate together as Christians? Well, yes, those are the things we do in church, but no, those are not just Sunday verbs. The Lord looks for His people to worship, praise, thank Him every day of the week, morning, noon, and night. The writer to the Hebrews says, "By Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Living a life of praise suggests living in a state of the consciousness of all that God is and all that God does for us, and of giving voice to that consciousness. And really, how hard can that be when we consider the abundance of evidence and the abundance of reminders of God's grace and goodness? See the cross on a steeple or a wall and laud the Lord for sending His Son to serve as our substitute. See the sun rise in the morning and praise God for the marvels of His creation which serve us so well. Exchange greetings with a fellow Christian and thank God that He's given fellow believers for us to be with, through whom we can receive spiritual support. See the fresh falling snow and marvel at God, how God in Christ has turned our sins into snow-like whiteness. Take notice of the fact that He has once again provided us with countless daily blessings, and marvel at the fact that His mercy endures forever. Sadly, I think we tend to compartmentalize our praise, our active thanks, and relegate them to a few moments perhaps between third and fourth hours or to one of the services on a weekend. But the one who blesses continually deserves to be praised continually, in our thinking, our speaking, our singing, our playing. The artwork on this particular shirt shows the hand of someone strumming or chording certain notes on the keyboard of a guitar, and underneath that picture are the words, "I play for the audience of one." Nobody else has to be around. Nobody else has to be involved. Praising one-to-one, lowercase o to uppercase O, is one of the great reasons for which we were created and one of the main sources of Christian joy. May we daily, therefore, praise God, our Redeemer, our Creator, in grateful devotion, bringing Him our tribute, including the daily acts of praise, worship, and thanks. And why wait until next week, next Wednesday? Hymn 568, verses 1 and 3. 568, 1 and 3.
Massive figures. Thank you.